We're waiting in this place. We're waiting. We know that you're here, and we're thanking you that you're increasing right now. Thank you, Lord. We desire your glory above all else. We desire you. We desire more and more and more of your manifest love, your manifest presence. That's the desire of our heart. You're our healer. You're our savior. You're our deliverer. You're our all in all, Lord, because you are healing. You are salvation. You are redemption. Oh, you are deliverance. That's who you are, and you're here. We thank you, Lord, that you desire to set your children free. You desire for us to walk in wholeness and healing and health and prosperity and sound mind. Lord, you don't desire for us to be anxious, to be fearful, to have panic attacks, to have anything, Lord, that would be detrimental to us. That's not your heart. Lord, you are the one who frees us from addictions. You free us from every trouble, every malady. And we thank you for that. And Lord, we believe as we sing this last worship song, One Life. Can we please sing that? Do you have that? Just really believe that God's going to do something here. And if you're feeling sick, you know you're sick. You're wondering if you're sick. But if there's anything wrong with you, let's put it that way, okay? Believe our Lord is going to touch all of us today. All of us. Some of us have very serious things. The doctors have pronounced comes from the enemy. But we thank you, Lord, that you are a God who heals and you are a God who changes everything up. So we thank you, Lord, as we worship and sing this last song. Father, that you're going to continue to pour out your spirit. Thank you, Lord, because it's about you. We love to be free. We love even more to be close to you. And that comes through the freedom that you paid a big price for, Jesus. So we thank you, Lord, for your miracle working power amongst us right now. We thank you, Lord, that we have one life to live for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just receive. Just receive. It may be for all of us, some of us. There's no problem too big for the Lord, nothing. So just believe and receive. He's here. He's here. We offer ourselves to you. We thank you, Lord, for the great exchange that our lives for yours. What a deal. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for coming and moving so powerfully this morning. Thank you for touching every infirmed body and mind. Thank you, Lord, for touching every person in here. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, healing God. Thank you, Jehovah Rapha. Thank you, Lord. There is nothing too big for you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you that you remove anxiety. You remove heart disease. You remove cancer. You bring destruction to anything that would come against us. And you destroyed it. You destroyed it at the cross. So we thank you, Lord, for that we receive from heaven right now. Thank you for your ministering angels upon us right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy One. Thank you, Holy One. Thank you, Holy One. Thank you, Holy One. Just keep receiving throughout the rest of the morning. Just keep receiving. He's here. He's here. You're here, Jesus. Wow, what a privilege. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We just bless your name this morning, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we choose to pour our lives out, and it's not a waste, because you're worth everything. But we will waste our lives. We will give everything in Jesus' name. Thank you, Holy One. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Pastor Bill and Troy they finished their Sunday service already. They're in India, for those of you who don't know. And Andy has some updates he's going to share. And also, this has been quite a weekend downtown as well, so there's been a real rush in the spirit here in Canton and also in India. And Andy's going to share some of that, and then the children can go into their kingdom classes. But it's good for you to see and hear what's going on, children. So, Andy?
There aren't any pictures yet, but they're coming. Yeah, that's what he was saying. So, Pastor Bill and Pastor Troy arrived, and they met Pastor Rohit, or what did I say?
Pastor Troy.
Pastor Troy. Hey, why not? Why not? Hey, that just slipped out. Thank you, Lord. We all know that he is that in the spirit. They wrote, said, today we had a time of impartation with about 40 pastors and leaders. Pastor Bill preached on Luke 15 regarding the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. And those present heard the good news of the Father's heart for us. They responded with a deeper call of sonship / daughtership. Living as a son and daughter is so much more effective in the kingdom for following through with the Father's compassion for reaching the lost. Many came up for individual prayer after the message, and they were saying it was so wonderful to connect with brothers and sisters from around the world. And also Pastor Rohit and his wife Sharon, they offer classes and tutoring to almost 300 children every day. And this is in New Delhi, India. So Troy and Pastor Bill in the morning, about 100 children whose parents are migrant workers or extremely poor rag pickers came to their school to receive education that they are unable to receive at the government schools. In the afternoon, about 200 children come to their after-school tutoring program. Not only do these children learn educationally, but they also receive the gospel and learn how to live as Christians. This has brought many children and their families into relationships with Jesus. God is so wise and creative in his ways of drawing people to himself. We were also able to walk across the street from the ministry school to share with the rag pickers there. As we entered, a small group of women, children, and men joined us under a small shelter to hear about Jesus. Pastor Bill gave a simple gospel presentation, encouraged the people of the Lord's love for them, and prayed for some physical needs of the people as well. A couple of them prayed to receive the Lord, and they were all encouraged by our visit. That's amazing. For those of you, I'm sure when the pictures come, but for those of you who don't know, like literally they live, where these rag pickers live, it looks like a trash dump. It looks literally like houses have been built out of trash. And you go in and there's literally different piles of trash in where they live that they've sorted. There's a different sections of here's some food scraps and plastic. It's incredible. So the deaf hearing and the demonized set free and sickness leaves. After a stirring time of worship, Pastor Bill preached on the goodness of the Father using the account of Peter walking on the water as a launching pad. Following that, Pastor Bill felt led to pray over the body corporately for a release of physical healing and demonic deliverance. As we continued to pray individually for the people present, a woman came forward to receive prayer for her left ear. She had been losing her hearing for several years in that ear, but after 4 months, her hearing was gone. After Pastor Rohit and Troy prayed for her, her ear opened up. Thank you, Lord. And she was able to hear again. Another man came forward for his hardness of hearing for the last 28 years. After prayer, he was able to hear Pastor Rohit from 10 feet away with loud worship taking place. He was so thankful to the Lord. Another man came forward asking for prayer for deliverance from demons. After receiving salvation, he declared that Jesus was Lord of his life and that he was set free in Jesus. Immediately, he said that he felt suddenly lighter as Jesus set him free. It was such a good night in Jesus. Then they added this little, may you receive his perfect love, peace, and joy, and healing as you hear and read this update. I like this one. This is one of I can't have favorite updates, but this is my favorite one. Four Hindus received Jesus and spiritual vision opened. Today we spent the afternoon ministering in Pastor Stephen's church. Currently is meeting in a house. People pressed into the small room and out of the hallway in order to hear Pastor Bill speaking. Pastor Bill talked about the Father spending 9 months on creating us just the way he wants us. At the conclusion of the message, one man responded to Pastor Bill's call for salvation. Pastor Bill sang a song that he wrote about how the Father sings a song over us. I know that you've all heard that song. Then we had the opportunity to pray for each person individually. A Hindu woman and her son, two sons came forward for healing prayer. After explaining the gospel to them, all three prayed with Troy to receive Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Many people came forward asking for more fire and hunger of the Lord. It is exciting to see the Indian believers so hungry for the Lord. At the conclusion, this is my favorite part, a young lady came forward and shared a testimony of many in her village receiving the Lord after she was used to raise a relative from the dead. Her relative had died for a week. This 18-year-old girl closed all the doors, laid her Bible on the dead body, which she is illiterate and can't read, and prayed for resurrection. The boy came back to life, and many in the family and the community came to receive Jesus. Her pastor confirmed the testimony when she arrived at our meeting tonight, when she saw the entire room glowing with white balls of light that she felt was the power of God. And then he said, tonight we ministered in Pastor Bahrat's church. After a time of worship, Pastor Bill shared a little bit of the Father's love. Then he felt led to share a personal testimony from his life that he doesn't typically share. You guys can ask him what that one is. This specific testimony really blessed and encouraged the pastor who had experienced the same circumstances in his life. Holy Spirit is so good. Then Pastor Bill sang a song of blessing over the congregation and started to minister to them through individual prayer. Several people fell down under the power of the Holy Spirit as God encouraged them and filled them up. Many were blessed with prayers and prophetic words of encouragement. One man testified that a painful swelling under his jaw shrank while he was receiving prayer. After the time of ministry, we were blessed with some good Indian food. I'm slightly jealous right now. And we're able to be encouraged by the pastor, his son, and his leaders even more. It is so good to fellowship with brothers in Christ from all around the world. And then Pastor VJ of Emmanuel School and Emmanuel Church welcomed us to his church and translated for Pastor Bill. He preached from Luke 15, and Pastor Bill clearly portrayed the heart condition of the Father and the Son. They were encouraged that they were two princes and princesses of the King of Kings. The people responded to a call of intimacy and love. Pastor Bill sang out over the people, calling on the Lord to show his glory. As usual, worshiping our King led to people being touched by the Lord. One little girl with a demonic hold on her began to soften and be set free as Pastor Bill prayed for her. Four Hindus came forward for prayer to receive the Lord after Troy presented the gospel to them. That's like pastor/evangelist Troy. Many others received prayer and prophetic words regarding many different needs and concerns. Our God is so faithful. That is awesome. Oh, yes. So we have a video that captures what happened and took place on Friday night, which was absolutely amazing. For those of you who don't know, the National Day of Prayer was on Thursday. And then for something different this year, they had a night of worship and celebration on the first Friday night. They had a concrete stage, which was really just there, set up. And there were different groups that were worshiping from 5 to 10. And so we had the time slots from 8 to 10. At the same time as we were having our prophetic evangelism booth going on at the same time. And so here in this video, it just kind of shows both as far as what happened this evening. And it was a lot of fun.
This is we just met him tonight, and so tell us what happened.
The doctor said I'm going to have surgery on my broken, dislocated finger. and there was splitting ligaments in it and everything. But as of right now, I feel no pain. I feel touched. I feel blessed in this moment right now. There's no pain whatsoever. I can fully bend and move my hand. Like vibrate regularly.
And when did you break it?
Last Monday.
So a week ago. And right now it's completely
normal. Could you bend it like that before I prayed for you?
Bro, I couldn't bend it at all. And use my witness, like I could not bend it.
Could he bend it? Wow. That's cool.
So that was a lot of fun to see that, because it was just progressively we could see it as he was doing it, and he was just, we didn't capture the end of it, but he was just blown away and like, what are you feeling? He's just, I'm just overwhelmed. It was crazy. And he was also helping set up and tear down all the sound stuff for the worship time. And one of the things that kind of the last song that Josh sang, that we didn't quite get the end of it, but you know, the chorus of that song is, I don't know if it's the chorus or not, but basically there's a line in it that says like, fling wide you heavenly gates and prepare the way of the risen Lord. And there was just such power being in downtown Canton near the courthouse, just declaring and speaking that out in the open air over downtown Canton, like, fling wide you heavenly doors. And I knew that it wasn't just a song, but literally it was a prophetic declaration that it was preparing the ground of Canton to receive even more of the Lord's heart and presence. And it was just an incredible, amazing time. Yeah, and that was, yeah, and Pastor Pat was sharing, like, we used to go down to downtown Canton in 2001, 2002, when it was like 6 degrees and there were like 7 people out. And we would try and find somebody, you know, and you have a group of like 8 people seeing one individual, like, let us go pray for you, you know, and, you know, they're kind of like, what? We definitely prayed over the ground, you know, so prayer walking into everything. And then it was years later, somebody was like, why don't you go check down, like, First Friday? Because we showed up, and there was all these people downtown Canton. Just seeing how the Lord flipped that so much, and definitely knowing that on Friday night, I just believe it was a culmination of all the seeds that were sown in faith and prayer and all of that, to the point where the Lord released it to where we are prophetically worshiping and preparing a place for the Lord in the Spirit through our worship, not just through what we were establishing back in the day through praying and walking the streets. And it is just an incredible time of like, Lord, you're doing something amazing here, and it's incredible.
Well, children can go to Kingdom Land while you're going. Listen to this. While the worship was going on down on Friday night, we didn't know what the weather was going to do. You never do. But looking over, I don't know how many feet, 30 feet maybe from where we were standing, it was pouring down rain. You could see it by the light. And we're standing there completely dry, going, whoa. And so the leader of National Day of Prayer was looking at me, and we were looking at each other. And she goes, do you see that? I said, I see that. You see that rain? I said, I see that rain. Oh, we were dry as could be. It was just really amazing. I hadn't seen it here before like that, but definitely in Africa we've seen that. So praise God for this. So thank you. We're very proud of you. Pastor Bill and I, thank you so much for being who you are and giving up your time and your energy and your Friday night and other times. Thank you. God bless you. And I know this was Darlene's first Sunday, Darlene and Carl's first Sunday together leading worship. So God bless you guys. It was really awesome. Amen. And I'm wondering if maybe Terrence, you can pass this out with some people. Everybody gets one, okay? Yeah, you can help. Yeah. And just sensed that we wouldn't have a lot of time, and I wanted to type something up from Watchman Nee, some of his writings. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. I think those who have been with us many years have. But if you're newer to Frontline, maybe not. He's a watchman, or was a watchman, living long ago. and actually passing on in 1972, but born in 1903. And he lived in China, and he was a watchman who became very close to the Lord, very, very intimate with the Lord. And he was quite insightful. The Lord had revealed so many mysteries to him, had really shown himself strong to Watchman Nee, and he had written over 60 books, and they're phenomenal. I have not read all 60 books. I've read many of his things. But it just very, very scriptural, very, very godly, hungry, humble man who actually spent the last 20 years of his life in prison. And the Lord revealed himself even more deeply at that time. And I just wanted you to take something home and just exhorting you, if you would, to consider reading chapter 6 in Romans, chapter 7, and chapter 8. Because we won't have time today to go through all of that. But I really believe that the Lord in this season is wanting to launch us into another place in our own walk with the Lord, in our own dimension with Him, our own journey with Him. And if we can put up Mark 12, 30 and 31, that would be great. Just want to draw your attention up here. And if you want to go ahead and take a few notes on this handout, that would be fine. These are very familiar verses, and that's not on your handout. And we've had many, many messages about these verses, but I want to go in a little bit of a different direction so that we can go in deeper, a little bit deeper today. And we have Mark 12, 30 and 31, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. I don't believe there would be anybody in here who's never heard that before from looking at those who are here. I think I know everybody here. And I just want to say that God wants to help us understand a little more deeply that particular verse. He wants us to know what He is telling us about loving Him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. He wants us to understand some things. He says, the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, and there's no other commandment greater than these. And sometimes when we get wrapped up in the Lord's presence, and we forget that there is a lot of depth to these two verses. And actually, this is something I was telling someone recently in here, that there are over 1,600 commands in the New Testament, not just the Old Testament, but the New Testament. And we know that the Old Testament is filled with law, and Jesus came to fulfill the law, and He wants us to be free of the law, but yet He holds us to the law in Jesus, in fullness, whatever it is that is included in these two verses. And so when the commandment, the greatest commandments of loving the Lord with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength is given to us, that's with the assumption or the understanding through the rest of Scripture that we lay down, everything is laid down, everything is released to the Lord, everything is given as we were singing today, everything is completely surrendered to the Lord, and there is not just a receiving of Jesus, but then there's a consecration of our life in Jesus. And so the Lord wants us to know that the consecration to give ourselves in full and total surrender is so significant to Him that He knows that when we love Him with everything inside, we're going to devour the New Testament. We're going to, and the Old Testament. And we're going to read our Bibles, and we're going to know all of these commands. Commands are directives from the Lord. And so if we read the Scripture and go, wow, you say, guard your tongue, don't gossip, things like that. Those are commands of the Lord. Those are not maybes. If He tells us how we should honor our leaders or elders, those are commands. The Lord says, you will be able to fulfill those commands as you hold fast to the first commandment, because out of that first commandment will spill a great desire for all of the other commandments and all of the other directives. Sometimes when we are extremely encouraged through the presence of the Lord and we say, oh God, I'm just wrapped in your presence. I just love being with you. I love feeling you close. And we may not be experiencing a lot of freedom in our lives. God says, let me explain something to you. There could be something that's blocking you receiving that freedom. because I do have various things in my word that I want you to follow. They're not maybes. They're sure. God says, this is what I see. This is what I want you to do. I'm giving you help that will be a spilling over or an outpouring of these two great commandments, loving him with everything inside. So if we think of it that way, then the desire, we can see that God is building the desire for us to want to obey him. He gives us the ability to obey. He wants us to obey. But if it's not out of love from honoring these two great commandments, then it becomes very law-oriented. And so the Lord is wanting us to be free of being law-oriented. He wants us to be grace-oriented, but yet he wants us to follow what he says. It's not one without the other. Now, we've said this before, we've preached this before, we've laid down our hearts before, and we've talked about these things before to a degree. But I believe God is challenging us in this hour to really consider what he's saying about death to self, laying ourselves down, being raised to new life, what that looks like. I think he wants us to dig a little deeper so that we don't fall into what's called permissive grace. Grace is not cheap. What Jesus did was a very big deal, as we know. And when we preach the cross, Jesus crucified, and we really are understanding that we are with him in our co-crucifixion with him, if we understand more of what that's like, we will develop a heart set, a mindset, a soul set in every way that is completely enamored with our God, and nothing else will surpass that. Everything will spill out of that. And so if we read something in Galatians, or we read something in Corinthians, or we read something in Thessalonians or Timothy's, either one, then we would look at that and go, wow, I want to do those things because I want to become who you've called me to become, not because I'm trying to please you to make you happy. There's nothing we can do to do that. We can't earn that by being good. But at the same time, how we hold fast to the commandments, to the directives, to the strong words of how we are supposed to live in kingdom living, how we are doing in that realm will definitely be reflective of where we stand with Mark 12:30. That will definitely be, that's the signal. That's the signal in the spirit. And so when we are saying, Lord, it's you no matter what, then if we see something about our temples being, our bodies being temples of the Holy Spirit, we want to devour that scripture, and we want to know what that scripture is saying. What does it mean, and what can I do about it not in my own strength, but in the strength of the Spirit? What can I do about it because I'm so in love with the Lord? So it's a wake-up call to take us deeper and deeper and deeper. So with Watchman Nee, I was just typing out some things I've read, and I ran out of time, so you have 4 pages, that's it. But these are just some basic things for you to think about this week as I encourage you again to read particularly Romans 6 and 7 with these thoughts in mind. And there are some other scriptures in here. And challenge yourself. Lord, I want to go deeper. I want to understand what it means when it says in the scripture that to live is Christ, to die is gain. What does that look like? What does that mean for me? You don't have to stay in Romans 6 and 7. You can be all over the scriptures. But I want to know what it means to be co-crucified with Christ in Galatians 2:20. I want to know what that means. And I need to understand, in a sense, doctrinally. But let me say something about that. Okay? There are a lot of people who understand doctrine here. But the minute it is not held to the Spirit, it can become very religious. And we can have a head full of knowledge, but we're not walking out these first two commandments, these two total commandments. And so when we use that term, or we hear that term, wherever doctrine would come from, be it from a book or the Bible directly, or someone spoke it to you, wherever you receive it, if it has not become revelation to you or to me, then it does not do the work that it's intended. We might even hear something. It sounds like, oh, okay. If we receive it as the law because it had not become, or we either rejected it or resisted it, or we didn't understand it, whatever happened, we didn't receive it as revelation, We might be very, very confused calling something, this is something that is black and white. It just looks like this because this is what I feel. This is the way I take it. This is what my mind says. But without the Spirit of revelation enlightening us to be able to have our eyes open to say, that's what that means, then if we aren't doing that, then we will lack the understanding and the ability to flow with the Spirit. Flow with the Spirit of God. So when we read chapter 6, chapter 7, and chapter 8, which is life in the Spirit, I really challenge you to have these two verses in front of you and be thinking about them, writing them down. Lord, I want to grow. I want to see how am I doing in this area? Where is my spiritual connection with you? I don't want to fool myself. I don't want to think that, you know, you're not talking to me about something because you want me to be able to freely and easily walk out all the directives because you're giving me road signs and maps and you're giving me the best. You're not telling me I have to live underneath this 5-point system. No, it's not like that. But yet, he says, I want you to understand that these points or these places, and there's more, I don't have the exact number, but it's over 1,600 as I was reading lately, of places where the Lord is saying in the New Testament, New Covenant here, I want you to obey me. And sometimes we just cringe and go, obey? Okay, that sounds like, you know, someone's making me do something or there might be some control here or something like that. No, obedience is really important and it will become easier and easier in the sense that we'll become more aware as we decide we're going to fall in love with Jesus and exercise our freedom that in this verse, verse 31, will highlight the person next to me. In other words, if I decide, Lord, I really need to understand what it means to be dead, what it means to lay down, what it means to be buried more and more for myself. I'm going to meditate on this. I'm going to read this. I'm going to take these steps for myself. I'm inviting you to enlighten me so that I have greater revelation about some of the truths that I might even have embraced up to this point in my life. But maybe I'm not satisfied. Maybe there's something going on. Maybe there's a dissatisfaction in me. That's a good place to be because then we're prime candidates for the Lord to say, I've been trying to get your attention. This is good. So if there's an edge or a rub or dissatisfaction of some kind, and there's a quote or something that he does say about that in here, consider that good because that's where our hunger then will grow. Because we don't want to be in a place of saying, well, I'm just happy where I am and I'm not moving anywhere else. I want to fall deeper in love with Jesus. I want to increase in the area of obedience for my own self without freaking out, thinking, oh my gosh, we're not presence-oriented. There goes the law. That is faulty thinking. It is not a good place to be. And people have fallen into that place, unfortunately. And I pray in here that you're not one of them because it's rampant in the body of Christ. But the Lord says, I don't want you to walk with the law in your heart. But in your attempt to not walk with the law, don't disobey me. And you shall love me with all your heart, soul, and mind and strength. And if so, as that continues to grow and you're spending time with the Lord in his presence and worshiping him and chewing on some of those very difficult verses in scripture. I challenged you several weeks ago. Go find some that you don't like and spend a lot of time there. That's the best way to grow, isn't it? It's like I'm not comfortable with that. And it probably means this. If we have to justify that, it's probably not what it means. Or we're having, you know, a big problem here. God, we have one Holy Spirit. We really do. And so he's very in one commander inside. And so as we fall deeper in love here, first commandment, we will then care more about the person inside around me because we will be dead, more dead. How dead will we be? We will care about that person that we're spending Friday night with. And we'll say, what will I do or not do to bless them and lead them into greater, greater revelation of you? That's my biggest cry for any person I'm around. And I believe that's what Jesus did, and that's what he wants all of us to do. God, my actions, what I do, what I say, what I don't do, what I don't say, how could that possibly affect the person right next to me, the closest person to me? Well, I'm not responsible for them. Actually, we are, in the sense that we are to love who? Our neighbor as ourself. And if we have just this love for who God made us to be, then self, S-E-L-F, will actually die. And we will become more selfless and lose selfish. We will lose it because it just starts to happen. I mean, it's a process, but it begins with the first commandment and then it spills into the second one. So if we're with somebody and we think, hey, I can do this and I can do that because I'm free. I can do whatever I want. And if there's a possibility that someone could stumble because they're not understanding, or, you know, it may not be the very best, and it may not even be the very best for you. There might be even a smoke screen that you have between you and the Lord because it's something you want to do. You know, it's just something that we want to take to the Lord because he's not making it mean and hard and tough. He's saying, dead is dead. Jesus is so not alive until he, you know, became alive. In that sense, he was just dead to sin. There was no sin in him. That all he could think about was the Father and what it was like for anybody around him. That's all it was on his heart and mind. Because he knew what it meant to love our Father with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. So that would be the challenge for us. Oh, I want to go deeper in those scriptures that maybe I've learned 10 years ago, or occasionally I'll flip over to Romans and I'll wonder, what do those mean to me now? If we can put up, the Lord put this on my heart this morning, and I think it's referred to on the last page. Let's look at the very last page. It is. Good. I did put that in there. The very last line. God never asks for our ability. He only asks for our inability. He looks for our weaknesses. Weakness. He demands, his demand of us is not to be full, but empty. He does not accept our resistance. Let me read that again. He does not accept our resistance, but he waits for our submission. So that is the direct opposite. Submission is the direct opposite of resistance. Sometimes we may have a hard time, even with the concept of submission. We might say, well, if Jesus shows up and tells me this, then I'll do it. Rather than so in love with him that it doesn't matter. I give up every freedom I have because it might bless the Lord, it might be something good for me, and it might bless others. If we think that way, we'll change what we do. We will, because it will start to hit us in the first commandment, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. But again, these are pieces of the puzzle we're putting together. The important question is not how much we possess of Christ, but rather how much we have lost of Adam. Because Adam did his own thing. Adam did what he wanted to do. Now, when you have grace, as we do, as we live under grace, we have many choices. And there will be many people who say, go out and do whatever you want. And the Lord will just bless it. But when the commander of the heavenly host lives on the inside of us, it's a good idea to check with him. Because he's the commander of heaven. And we can learn from him. And actually, as we read the scriptures, we can think about that. So the important question is not how much we have of Christ. What's my identity of Christ? How much do I possess? We have it all. We have it all when we get saved. But it's how much of Adam we release so that we can actually walk in what God has already given us in Christ. Okay? The more mature a believer becomes, the more he will feel his immaturity. Isn't that good? The more mature, we will feel like we don't know anything. I'm maturing in Christ, are you? Are we maturing in these two areas? Think about that. It's not just, oh, I don't want to be a bad witness, so I better stop this. No, it's an entire heart process with the Lord. And he says, if you move towards me in this way, and you're willing to allow me to speak to you and enlighten you, there may be a place or two or 10 or 20, for any of us, you know, where we've resisted him. And if we resist him in any way, we're not submitting to what he has that's best. And he wants us to have what's best. Okay? And so I think these are really helpful things. I want to go through a passage in Scripture for just a few minutes, actually. I'm just going to read through it, maybe 5-10 minutes, we'll see. And that would be, if you can put up the 1 Corinthians passage, please. You can put that up. Yeah. This is Paul's letter to the Corinthians, and he's speaking about the wisdom of God. And I had chosen 18 through 31, and we've spoken a lot about wisdom, what wisdom is, what wisdom isn't, in many different passages in the Scripture, but the Lord really highlighted this to me. And I want to skip right down to 27 through 29, but then we'll start at the beginning. So 27 says, "But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. And the base things of the world and the despised God has chosen the things that are not, so that he may nullify the things that are." Verse 29 says, "So that no man may boast before God." And let's just read 30 and 31. "But by doing this, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord." So this is the antithesis of pride. The Lord is saying, yes, boast in me. Yes, speak your testimony out. Yes, live your testimony out and speak it, because that is a boasting that I'm all about. And as you fall more in love with me, these things are going to start to order your world a little differently. We need to expect to change. I want to change more. But I'm not saying, God, change me. I'm saying, Jesus, Holy Spirit, Father, I am co-crucified with Christ. I know who I am. You live inside of me. I am in Christ. Therefore, I know that as I receive what you've already released to me, and I'm in that place, things will start to fall off and I will start to change. It doesn't mean there isn't a place for concentrated prayer or some talking or some help in counseling or something. You may have struggles in a particular area, and God says, I want you to be free. But sometimes we get so wrapped up in the fact that we think we need to be healed or delivered that we focus in an area where we feel, you know, I'm really not changing. And the Lord gives us perhaps a key that we've not seen. And that's where the challenge is coming really strongly from my heart to yours for chapters 6 and 7, particularly before you read Life in the Spirit in chapter 8 in Romans. And something new, I believe God's going to birth in each one of us as we consider these things before the Lord. So let's take a look at the beginning of Corinthians in 18. "For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. For it's written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world?" Verse 21, "For since in the wisdom of God the world thought its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For indeed Jews asked for signs and Greeks searched for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to Jews a stumbling block, and to Gentiles foolishness. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble." Again, verse 27, "But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, And God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things that are strong. And then the rest. And as I was reading that, maybe a familiar passage to you, and if not, good to chew on and really think about it, especially as you're reading this, and saying, God, what does it mean to deny myself, take up my cross, and follow you? If I do that in my own strength, you know I will wear out. If I do that because I have to, I will enter into striving. If I do that because it's the Christian thing to do, then I will enter into the law. The law will start to overwhelm me and capture me again. When I had received the grace to be able to fulfill or to walk out the fullness of the law in these two verses. Isn't that exciting? So it's a different way of considering grace, but yet not cheapening it so that we don't have a strong, strong desire to obey. If we have misconceptions about what it does mean to take up our cross, deny ourselves, and to give ourselves wholeheartedly to the Lord on every front, if we have either a misconception or there's any resistance to that, then we will find that it will be easier to dismiss the areas of giving up myself. These commandments I'm talking about in the New Testament, the New Covenant, they're about ourself. Self, self, self. Because the Lord says, I need to give up self. But what does that look like more and more? It's something that the Lord has told us he is going to perfect in us so that we can fully enjoy the processing and the walking out of our salvation that he's giving us, that he has given us. And so I want to exhort you, especially in this season when there has been a real push from the Lord, I believe, for a year, over a year, in the area of purity and holiness and what that looks like and being set apart and being consecrated. And we've talked and we've prayed and we've danced and we have sung. We've had watches of the Lord and we read our scriptures and say, Lord, I just want more. I want more. I want more. I want to fall in love with you. But what we don't want to see happen is that we don't take the full counsel of the word so seriously that we are missing the keys to be able to have the best from these two verses. We really want to do that, but with the right heart motivation and understanding how great a God we have and how he made himself known to us as we are co-laboring with him, what that really looks like and what it means to give up and die. I mean, has that been a question on some of our hearts? As we talk so freely in here about, I want to die more. I just want to be dead. I just want death. I just don't want life. I want death, but I don't want... What is this about? What do you mean I want to die? Die to what? I like cookies. I want to eat cookies. So I have to die to cookies. What do I do? My nickname when I was a little girl. My father still calls me that from time to time. It's true. So... What is that looking like? What does that say to me? Is it just the big things, you know, the things that we don't want to talk about? We do want to talk about, actually. Is it just those things? Or is it a complete heart lifestyle to be able to be so tethered in constant communion with the Holy Spirit that we can see right into situations? No matter what it looks like, no matter how dark it might be, no matter how fooling it might come across, if we stay connected in 1 Corinthians 1 in these verses, then we will say, Lord, I really need to understand what you're telling me about flesh for me. Because anything of flesh for me is not received by you. So therefore, I have resistance to you and I'm not submitting to you. Oh. But yet, instead of, oh, it will be, oh, thank you. You've shown me more. As I'm reading, there'll be an enlightenment. So one of a good prayer for us, if you want to flip over to, I don't have this, I'm just hearing this right now. So if you want to flip in your Bibles over to Ephesians 3, let's do that. Or your phones, whatever. Ephesians 3, let me just read that. Just Lord, just drop that in my spirit here. This starts up at, okay. Well, I'd like to read the whole chapter, but I won't. So let's start at verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, okay, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you. Now, this is Paul's prayer for the Ephesians, but this is what we want to pray over ourselves this week. May I exhort you to do that. Pray this over yourself. He, God, would grant you. So, Lord, grant me according to the riches of your glory, which lives inside of me if I know you, right? To be strengthened with power through his spirit in the inner man. What's the inner man? My soul. Lord, strengthen me. I need strength. My mind, my will, my emotions. It seems like I always mess up, or I get discouraged, or these things crop up and I get angry, or I have this thought that won't go away, or crops up every once in a while, and I'm tired of just seemingly dealing with it. I want to get through this. I want to get past it. I want to be released of this completely. So strengthen me in my inner man. That is one of the greatest prayers that we can pray over ourselves. And it's something like this, that we don't just read for somebody else. We say, God, strengthen me in the inner man. I need your strength. So pray that over yourself this week, please. Be strengthened with power through his spirit in the inner man. Your power, O God. Verse 17, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able, Lord, make me able to comprehend with all the saints. I want to really get this, Lord. I want to grow in my spiritual understanding. Exactly what is the breadth and length and height and depth of your love? What is it? And to know this love, I want to know this inside of Christ, which surpasses anything in my brain, any kind of knowledge. I want to know this. This is what is going to help verse 30 and 31 come alive for us. That you may be filled up with all the fullness of God. Many of us may not feel that we're on full all the time. We can be on full all the time because the Spirit of God is on full all the time. He's saying, listen, let's go ahead and let's figure out what we need to be doing when we talk about the old man and the new man and the body of sin that we have been freed from, what that looks like, which you'll read about in chapter 6 and 7 again, and what that looks like to be freed from that, and how we are not going anywhere near that thing. It's dead. It needs to be dead. It needs to stay dead. And if it's been resurrected, I've been the one who has done that. And I don't want to do that anymore. God doesn't want us to be going up and down. I tried this, but I'm afraid to try that because that seems too hard. I can't really go there. That's too big of a surrender because I'll fall. That's unbelief. It's like, whoa, how do I attack that? Read 6 and 7 and 8 and this. Okay? But God says, let's identify what it is that holds us in such bondage. You know, we're good people. We love Jesus. But why can't I get past this? We can get past this. But how? I've tried. It doesn't work. That's the problem. That is the problem. So verse 20. Now to him who is able to do more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. So we give honor to the Lord in verse 20 because you, God, are able to do far more abundantly than anything we could even ask or think of. No matter what it is, no matter how big we think our God is, he's bigger. And the closer we get to him, the more immature we realize we are. It's like, oh my gosh, I'm really small, yet I know who I am in Christ. The Lord says, I will spend years, decades helping you get stripped and me get stripped of anything that will hinder us from being able to take up our cross and follow him daily and what that looks like. And I believe I'm kind of whetting your appetite for this handout, as I'm not identifying everything step by step as we're going through it, because this is not new news for this body completely. We've gone through these things. However, I believe this is the way that God is saying to approach this in this season is going to open up the windows of heaven for each one of us, because he's stepping us up. He really is. He's saying, you know that prophetic word that you got a day ago, a year ago, 3 years ago? Will you step into it now? Just go ahead and step into it. Yeah, right. What's that mean? Somebody else has to do something. The Lord says, go back to it. If it's from me, guard it. If it's not from me, discard it. But if it's from me, guard it. Know what it is. Hold fast to it. Hold it up. Start walking in it. Start jumping into it. Start saying, Lord, I want to know what this means. And I want it to be activated in my life. I'm calling it forth in the now. And he's doing a lot of things that he wasn't doing, it seems, in the body of Christ, as much as he is right now. We just are trying to position ourselves for that. You know, we weren't down at First Friday because we're looking for something to do. We want to be doing more. Let's do more. I don't think so. We're doing a lot. It's not the idea. But there's this push in the heart, but it's not a striving push. It's God, you're coming back. Jesus, you're coming back soon. You're showing me the bigger picture. Wow, I want to do this. I want to go down there. I want to be part of that. I want to know when the next time is. In fact, you know what? I might even go and work with Rachel Copeland's on Friday before or even at the beginning of the next First Friday, because we're going to do an outreach in the city to some of the friends that she has. We're not in here right now. And we're going to try to do that. I don't know how we're going to do it, but it's something on God's heart, and we can. So how can we do that? I'll figure it out. Maybe it'll be somebody will stand up and just give the gospel. Somebody else might do the arts kit. A couple people. I don't know. But it'll be on our way to what we're doing downtown. You see what I'm saying? But we're not looking for something to do. We're saying, Lord, if you're sending us, we'll do it. Just saying. So there are a lot of things that he is sending us, and we don't want to have a no in our heart. Well, if it's not in your heart, okay. But if it's in the heart of the body here, and we're asking God to do that, and ask God, why it's not in your heart? Now don't take that as a command. Oh, I caught her. She's commanding me to go down on First Friday. No, she is not. Just talk to the Lord about that. What's going on? Should it be in your heart? Here's that should word. Or is there something he's saying? No, I'm going to do this or that or whatever. But the point is that we're putting things out before him, hearing things, so there might be other ideas that we entertain as well. Whatever he wants to send us to do, that's what we want to do. Does that make sense? So it's a whole different way of looking at it. It's being delivered more of the law that we have on the inside of us and walking in the grace that God has really given us. It's understanding more of the grace that God has for us. Yeah. Well, Lord, I just thank you for this beautiful, beautiful Sunday that you've given us. And thank you, Lord God, that when you walk into the room, everything changes. And we thank you, Lord, for the healing power that's here, the delivering power that's here. We thank you for what you have encouraged us to bite into, take a jump into another realm that maybe we haven't seen before. I'm sure we have it, Lord, because you go from glory to glory and you're challenging us to go deeper. So, Lord, thank you that you are stirring us up in our most holy faith right now. And you're encouraging us, Lord, to spend that time with you that it takes to really be able to want to understand, to live out, and to love Mark 12, 30, and 31. So important, Lord. You are everything to us. There's nothing more important than you. And Father, you're looking for those who are fireballs like Jesus. And we want to become fireballs like you. And then, as we're taking our mountain for you, Lord, as we say, whether it's business or education or wherever it is, that we're fireballs, Lord God, that we're dead to ourselves, that we're denying ourselves, because Mark 12, 30 and 31 is really working, but it's increasing. And Father, we're absolutely understanding what it means to go lower, a little bit more in a definitive way for us. What does that mean? Speak to us, Lord. We're asking you, because we don't want to be found in a place of resistance. But yet we do if we are, because we want you to show us. So we're asking, oh God, that you would shine the spotlight on our hearts and help us understand what you mean in your word, so we're not loosely throwing around phrases or pigeonholing someone or even speaking about someone, saying this is what they say or do or whatever in rendering judgment. God, forgive us as humanity. Forgive us as people. Forgive us, Lord God, so that we could really see verses 31 and 30 and 31 coming to life in deeper ways for us this week and beyond. So we thank you, Lord, for the healing that you've already begun in so many beautiful people here. And we thank you, Lord, for some we've been praying for years. And we thank you, Lord, for Judith Groover, and Henry's here as well. And we thank you, Lord, that we have not stopped and we will not stop. And we thank you, Lord, that the sentence that's been pronounced over her is not from you. And we have stood as a reversal group here saying, no way. And we thank you, Lord God, that we're believing what you say. But not as a religious belief, but as a knowing, because we're believing you, because you are our healer and we're connecting with you. It's about you. It's about you. It's about you. But thank you, Lord, for the resurrection life in Judith. Thank you for what you're doing in her. Thank you, Lord, of healing her completely, delivering her completely. We thank you. There will be no congestive heart failure, no pulmonary problems, no diabetic, not diabetes. There'll be nothing with her coronary system, nothing at all. I thank you for a complete and total reversal of every malady that has attempted to come against her in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that there's a key in any way that has not been discovered, that this is the season now that you will highlight it and make it known. Thank you, Father. We just rejoice in that. And for anybody else who is suffering right now, if you want prayer, just put your hand in the air. We're just going to pray right now. Father, for anyone who has their hand in the air, for a sickness or a disease that has been pronounced over them or a sickness that they feel they have, we thank you for the authority released in this church. We thank you for the healing power and anointing that we have seen here and abroad so many times. And we thank you that you're finishing your work here today. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for healing rooms now in this county. Thank you for what's happening here on a larger scale. Thank you, Lord, for more lives being touched by you. May we know you more as our Jesus who has everything, the great I am. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Continue to pray for our India family, please. And be encouraged and strengthened. Come out Tuesday if you're able to. It's going to be wonderful. And enjoy this handout. Bring it on Tuesday if you can. If you come back. God bless you.